And Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's go. We can do this. We can go take the land. And we know, don't we, that the people said, no, it's too hard. It's too much. We can't do it. We can't get there. And so we know God disciplined them, and they had to wander around in the desert for 40 more years. And in fact, the whole of that generation died. So over 1 million people during those 40 years died. And a lot of times they went past the same places that they'd been before. So I'm sure that they saw the graves and the tombs of the people that had died along the way. It's a constant reminder, wasn't it, to believe God and to go in. And the Lord said, the next generation, the younger generation, they're going to go in and they are going to possess the land. And all of those who were unbelieving, they died in their unbelief. And I want to kind of put that into a new covenant context, that God has territory for us to possess. And a lot of times through unbelief, through our lack of faith, we don't believe that God is able to cause us to dwell in victory in the land. So, for example, in Romans chapter 6, it tells us sin shall not have dominion over you. And we look at the giants in the land. We say, oh, the walls are too thick. They're too high. There's too many giants. That can't be true. We can't do that. But God says, no, sin shall not have dominion over you. The Lord says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so we know it's a promise of God. And so we live our lives, and there are times when our feelings might betray us. And we think, wow, I can't possess that promise. The walls are too thick. They're too high. There's too many giants. So my point is that the Lord has territory for us to enter into. And we mustn't look at the outward things. We mustn't look at the walled cities, the giants in our life. But God says, no, I want you to go up and possess the land. And then towards the end of Joshua, there's a story. Caleb kind of re-enters the story, doesn't he? And he's 85 years old. And the old King James Version says that his eye had not dimmed and his strength had not abated. He's an 85-year-old man. And he says to Joshua, he says, give me that mountain. I want to take that mountain for my inheritance. And he says, who'll go with me? And the men went up, didn't they? And they took that mountain as their inheritance. And so it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, whether you're 85 or 45, we can still go in and possess the land. Amen. I hope you believe that. So this morning I'm hoping that God, and believing and praying that God really gives us a burst of faith to believe that maybe there's areas of your life where you know that God wants you to walk in victory. Maybe there's things of sin that you're ensnared in, maybe attitudes, maybe bitternesses or resentment. I don't know. I can't see inside of your heart, but I know the Holy Spirit can. And there's nothing that's hidden from Him. And so God wants us to live in victory. Amen. God wants it. I mean, that's what He died for. It says in Ephesians 1 that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of us. Now, if that same resurrection power is inside of us, we should be living resurrected lives. Amen. We shouldn't be walking around in defeat and discouraged, but we should be living in the good of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So that's kind of an introduction to this idea of freedom. And I think I'm going to just shift this because I've got a feeling I'm going to trip over this thing, this lovely new stand that was bought for us. But I'm just going to shift it a little bit. In fact, I don't have notes this well. I've got notes in my Bible, so maybe I'll just move it and then I won't have any danger of tripping on it. When I have notes, I'll use it. Okay, so Galatians chapter 5. And I'm actually going to start a little bit before the text. The text is verse 1, but I want to start way a little bit further back in chapter 4, just for a little bit of context, in verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the son of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and the son of the free woman through the promise. This is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem from above is free. She is our mother, for it is written, "Rejoice, barren woman who does not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And you, brethren," that's us, "like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at the time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord, I confess, Lord, that I am an earthen vessel. But Lord, I want to also confess, Lord, that this is your word. And your word is powerful. Lord, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And so, Father, this morning we ask you to speak to us through your word. Lord, that you would divide things in our lives. Lord, that you would point out sin and compromise. Lord, that you would strengthen us with your Holy Spirit in our inner being. Lord, that we'd experience that this morning, not just a mental apprehension, but Lord, an actual spiritual strengthening within our inner being. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would do something in our hearts this morning to cause us to love Christ more, to cause us to hate sin more, and to cause us to walk in more truth than we've walked in before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to focus on verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. And Paul is writing to the Galatians. They've become entangled again with the law. And how easy is it for us to drift back into legalism? And the story is told about Hagar and her son Ishmael. And it says at the end of chapter 4 that we are not children of a bondwoman, but of the free woman. And that when we are born again and brought into God's kingdom, now we're free from the law. So legalism and law keeping is done away with. We're free in Christ. And it was for this freedom that Christ set us free. And it's contrasted with the Old Testament. In the Old Covenant, we know there was all kinds of rules and regulations that people had to keep. You know, if they sinned, they had to take a lamb and kill it, and that blood covered their sin, didn't it? But in the New Covenant, Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice. And he has paid the price once and for all time. So in the New Covenant, we are now free people. We're not under law, but we are under grace. And because we are under grace, it isn't dependent on our performance. So we don't get rewarded by doing really well. And conversely, when we stumble and sin, it doesn't affect our standing in grace, because it's by grace that we are saved, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was in Christ Jesus before the world began. And it was for this freedom that we were set free. That the Lord, when he brings us into his kingdom, that we're taken out, as it says in Colossians 1, of the dominion of darkness, and placed by him, transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. so that we are now free people. As it says in Ephesians 2, once our father was the devil, but now, we've been adopted by the Holy Spirit of adoption and placed into his family, and now we are regenerated, we're born again, we have a new father, the father of the whole universe, the father of glory, and we're free people. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from our first birth, from our Adamic nature. We've been taken out of Adam and placed into Christ. We are now free people. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 8. Jesus says something very similar to this. In John chapter 8, starting at verse 32, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we know John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the truth. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Let's jump down to let's do 33. It's interesting. It kind of links in with the Galatians passage. They talk about being Abraham's offspring. We are Abraham's offspring, whereas in Galatians chapter 4, Paul says actually they were Hagar's offspring. The Jerusalem on the earth is not free. The Jerusalem above is free. But anyway, they claim to be Abraham's offspring, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? And Jesus answers them, verse 34, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Wow, that's a very sobering verse, isn't it? "And the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. If, therefore, the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. So this is the freedom. This is the freedom we have in Christ, that the Son has made us free, and we shall be free indeed. Let's take a look at the second part there. It was back in Galatians 5. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. This word freedom, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. I'm just going to talk a little bit about this idea of being set free. And I'm certainly no Greek scholar, but I know how to use different books. So don't be in any way deceived. I don't know Greek. I'm just did some reading and kind of thinking around it. Did some looking. It's very interesting. But where it says Christ has set us free, the tense there is in the aorist tense and is active. Aorist tense means that something definite happened at a point in time and it has a continuous effect. Right? So when we came to Christ, Christ has set us free. Amen. He set us free. It happened. It's a definite thing that God did in our lives. He's broken the power of sin and he has set us free. This is what the Lord Jesus did. When he died on the cross, he set us free. Amen. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer children of the devil, but God has set us free. That's my first point. The second thing, it says, "Therefore, because of that, because you are free, therefore keep standing firm." And this is what we have to do. This is the challenge for us. We have to stand firm. We're going to be challenged. We're in a battle. And we have to stand firm. If we could turn to Ephesians 6. I want to talk a little bit about standing firm. In verse 10, it says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." So not strong in our own strength, but be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. And my point here is that we need to stand firm on what God has done. I think one of the mistakes we sometimes make is we look at Scripture and we think of our own experience. And we hear things that people say, and maybe famous people. But what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe God's Word, or are we going to believe our experience? Are we going to trust that God has set us free, or are we going to believe our own feelings and doubts? And know this, that we are in a battle. That Satan, it tells us right here that Satan is scheming against us, verse 11. And we need the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We know that in the Galatian church, one of the schemes of the devil was to bring them back into legalism, into the law. Right? He said, you've begun in the spirit, are you going to be made perfect or complete in the flesh? We know that Judaizers came into that church and they wanted the men to be circumcised. And Paul said, no, we're free from the law. We're free. We're no longer under that obligation. We're under grace. And so the devil came in with his schemes and wiles to bring them back under bondage again. And I believe the devil wants to do exactly the same thing in our lives. And if it isn't legalism, it might be something else. It might be bitterness, or it might be lust or envy or hatred. I don't know what it is. But the devil is active. He's working. In John chapter 10, it tells us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to stand firm. We need to stand fast in the freedom wherewith Christ has set us free. I know I've told this story before, but I think it pertains to this. But, you know, after the Civil War, a few years had gone by, and there was an army unit down in the south, and they came across this plantation where there were still slaves. And although the law had changed, right, January 1st in 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln, although the law had changed, they were still working as slaves in this plantation. They didn't realize that actually they were free. They were free people. And so the officer in charge of the army unit came in and set the slaves free. And he said, didn't you realize that you were free? He said, no, we had no idea. Our owner, the plantation owner, never told us. We just kept working for him all these years. They said, you're free. You've been free for years. You're free. And how often is that in our experience, where God has set us free? Because we don't fully understand what God has done, Satan keeps us in bondage. We keep sinning. We think that's normal. We think that's ordinary. That's what God wants. No, we've been set free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith you've been set free. We need to stand firm. And one of the things that Paul says in Ephesians 6 is we have to take up the full armor of God. And we don't really have time to go through all the pieces of armor, but if you get a chance to read it, this is how we stand firm, putting on the belt of truth. Right? Knowing the truth. The truth sets us free. The breastplate of righteousness. Having clean hearts and clean hands. Putting on the gospel of peace as sandals on our feet, walking in peace, walking in the gospel. And above all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. That verse tells us, doesn't it, that there will be flaming missiles or fiery darts, as the King James has it, of the evil one. And when we raise up the shield of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, it says that he will extinguish not just some of them, but all of them. I don't know if you know the picture there, but what the Roman soldiers would do is they had leather shields and they would drop them in water. And as those flaming darts, the lighted arrows that would come, they would extinguish them with their shields. Shield of faith, with which you'll extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And putting on the helmet of salvation and taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is how we stand firm, by putting on the armor of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own fleshly endeavors, but putting on God's armor and living in the good of what He has done. God has set us free. The war's over. The Emancipation Proclamation has been signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're free. We're free. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Let's go back. There's one last thing in that first verse. I want to finish up. The third point is, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5 verse 1. And when we walk in sin or in legalism, what we do is we put ourselves back. We're entangled. Another word is entangled again to a yoke of slavery. Bondage, I think the King James has it. And we know the idea of a yoke is two cattle that walk together. They're yoked together, aren't they? And the yoke of sin and slavery is a heavy yoke. And we know, don't we? We lose our peace. We live in condemnation and shame and guilt. The yoke of slavery. And we enter back in once again to those wicked, evil habits that we used to do before we were a Christian. And Paul warns us, don't enter. Don't be subject again because you're free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because it was for freedom that Christ set us free. He didn't set us free so we could wander back into sin again, become ensnared again with those things that we once delivered from. He set us free so we could go in and possess the land that He won for us on the cross. So that we could go in and see God bring the giants down and bring the walls down like at Jericho. This is what Christ set us free for. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of slavery. And I was thinking of how in Matthew 11, I know it's a very familiar passage, but Jesus says, doesn't He? He says, come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for My yoke is easy. And My burden is light, because He's the burden bearer, because He's the one who's done the work. That's why His yoke is easy. And so we can easily become ensnared again in a yoke of slavery. Let's just close in Galatians 5. We'll jump down to verse 13. I know I've just kind of breezed through it. There's a lot in here, but we're kind of out of time, but let's look at verse 13. It says this, for you were called to freedom. Brothers and sisters, this is our calling. We were called to freedom. And this word call here, it's present, it's active. It's a present active call that the Lord is calling us to walk in freedom. This is our identity and how the devil loves us to walk in bondage and darkness, falling back into sin, falling back into those familiar sinful evil patterns. And the Lord wants us to walk in freedom this morning. He wants us to walk in freedom. He's done everything that we need to walk in freedom. The devil wants us to walk in discouragement, in shame, and guilt, and fear. This week we had some of the children at school give their testimonies. And Ellie made a remark to me that really made me think. She said, you know, isn't it interesting how many people struggle with fear and anxiety? I think a lot of the kids in the school, one of the things that brought them to the Lord was they were struggling with fear or anxiety. And I thought, you know, we're really none no different. Now, how many of us struggle with fear and anxiety, worrying about the future, worrying about the past, worrying about things, anxious and frightened? but we're called to freedom. We weren't called to be anxious and worried. We were called to freedom. This is what we were called to be. We could go to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. We don't have to go there because it says, doesn't it? Remind yourselves, remember, my brethren, your calling. That not so many wise, not so many noble, not so many of a high birth have been called, but God has chosen the weak. God has chosen the foolish. God has chosen the things that are not to confound the things that are. So that our calling is not because we're greatly gifted, but God has chosen the weak and the foolish things so that He could be glorified. Amen? This is our calling. We were called to freedom. We weren't called into bondage. Amen. Let's walk in the freedom that God has called us to live in. You know, and if we are in sin, the Lord is able to deal with sin in our lives. He's faithful to point it out. He's not going to let us off the hook, but He's going to bring us. We can repent. We can turn away from it and ask God, God, cleanse me, forgive me. In James, it tells us, doesn't it? If anyone sins, let him confess his sins. And let him be prayed for and he'll be healed. Sin is not a problem to God. He's already dealt with it on the cross. It was for freedom that we were called. We were called to this. This is our calling. Let's live in the good of what Jesus did on that cross. Amen. It says, doesn't it, later on in chapter 5, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. This is the walk that God has for us. That we should walk in the Spirit. Should walk in His life. Not walking in our own efforts, in our own strivings and tryings. But resting and obeying and loving the Lord and walking in the freedom of the Spirit. Amen? It's what God wants for us. And I need more of it. I'm not trying to say I'm some kind of great super saint. But I need more of it. I want to go in and possess the land that God has won for me on the cross. I want to go in and take cities and take more territory and see God bring down giants and cause us to live in peace and freedom. We know, don't we, that God's hope was that this kingdom would be established. They would subdue the land. They would live in peace and prosperity. And the name of Jehovah would go out throughout all the earth. And that's why it says in Galatians 5, it says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So this freedom that God won for us is not supposed to free us up to live sin-filled lives or opportunities for the flesh, but through love, serving one another. So this freedom is then manifested in a life of service and love, one for each other. Faith working through love. So I want to encourage you this morning, whether you're thinking, wow, I don't know if I've ever experienced this kind of freedom. I need it. I need the Lord to come and do that for me. Amen. God can do it. Or maybe you're like those 10 spies who said, man, the walls are too high. They're too thick. The giants are too big. I don't think I can go in and possess the land. Or maybe you're like Caleb, give me this mountain. Amen. Wherever you are, God wants to meet us today. And it says, doesn't it, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays that they will be strengthened through the Holy Spirit in their inner man. We can't do this in our own strength. It's way, way bigger than us. There's no way we can live this kind of victorious life without the constant, moment-by-moment supply of the Holy Spirit. The moment we step into our flesh, begin to depend on ourselves, we're done for. The only way we can do this is by a constant supply of grace. Amen? That's why Jesus said in John 7:37, he who believes upon me, out of his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. We need this, don't we? We need that uprising, that constant refreshing and flowing of the Holy Spirit in our lives to cause us to be able to live the way that Jesus wants us to live. So I want to encourage you this morning. We'll close with a song, but let's really ask the Lord to do this in our lives, to give us fresh, living springs of life that will cause us to possess the land that Christ has won for us. Amen.